Good day, and welcome to the Analyst and Investor Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Colin Day, Chief Executive. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. Thanks for joining us, and I'm joined by Stefan, Group Finance Director. We'll just talk you through this update released this morning and then obviously take some questions. I'm sure you've read the announcement, so I'll just give you through, walk through some of the three SBUs, give some additional background around the outlook. Starting with components, our outlook is unchanged from what we gave at the interim results. As we've stated in the release, continental Europe and Asia are strong, UK showing encouraging signs of returning to growth in half two. US remains more of a work in process, but I confirm that the rate of revenue decline evident in half one has been stabilised, and we're hopeful of some improvement, of continuing more positive trends in the second half of 2016, which we've seen, and into the year end. On the other aspects of the BU, our expectations for both extrusion and pipe protection are unchanged. For extrusion, high single-digit like-for-like revenue growth and a full-year margin at high single-digit levels. In the case of pipe protection, we're looking at a revenue in the region of $10 million with a reduced loss in half two versus half one. No real change in the outlook for that business due to the state of the oil and gas sector. So to aggregate the SBU performance, we anticipate full-year 2016 like-for-like revenue growth to be modestly down, and excluding pipe protection, flat. From a margin perspective, taking into account my previous comments regarding extrusion and PPT, we will benefit from a less onerous FX transaction impact and an improved mix from the UK and US components business, though we expect a better half two outturn versus half one. Now moving on to health and personal care packaging, this has been more challenging, I'm sure you're aware, from the integration perspective. And just to give a sort of background to that, we said we would close 9 of the 24 sites acquired with Clondalkin, and we can confirm that the consolidation of that footprint will be completed by this year end, although one of those sites will actually now run on for another 3 months more than we anticipated, which doesn't help. The reason for that is because in that site, it's quite a high level of volume, which we're loath to transfer until after year-end, in order to maintain the client-customer output. I don't think it would be smart now to transfer that volume ahead of the Christmas rush. So that is one of the, that will be all completed by year-end. However, versus our previous expectations, there will be a mid-teens million pound shortfall in operating profit owing to the following factors. Three facilities, the two in the US and the one in the UK, are still not, in our opinion, consistently delivering the improved performance in revenue and operating profit to the required level. It's better, it's more stable, it is improving, but it's not at the rate that we anticipated at the half year. And despite many efforts in the first couple of months, July, August, we gave basically September, October, if you like, deadline in our own minds to see that coming to the absolute level in order to deliver the previous guidance. I'm not confident of that in the short term, and I'm not prepared to keep going on in terms of believing it all will turn around tomorrow, and with 8 weeks, two accounting periods left to go, I think this is the right approach. The drop through from a lower than expected revenue arising from the integration disruption clearly has constrained our ability to grow the business. We talked about that previously. It's getting better. We're starting to win business back. And encouragingly, I think we're setting up nicely for 17. But at the moment, I can't see it making a demonstrable impact in the remainder of 16. And as I've said at the opening part of this section, we've got the double running costs running this extra site until the year end, which are quite large. As a result, and given our tobacco tear tape continues, I mean, volume-wise it's the same, but the added value features have come off, which means the revenue growth in that sector, or the tobacco tear tape, is non-existent. and we did talk about that at the half year. We expect a deterioration in the like-for-like revenue growth and a profit margin in half two. And the full-year outturn for the BU will probably be lower than the 5%, 10% we posted in the first half. Finally, filtration. Porous is in line with expectations, and we continue to expect modest growth for the full year. And we continue to remain on track as regards the disposal process for the beginning of Q1 next year. However, on filters, we expect or anticipate a $5 million shortfall in operating profit due to the timing and slower ramp-up of new business wins that are coming through. Indeed, we had a successful business win on Friday, quite major, $2 million job. Can't explain who it's from. But the problem is the ability to make sure we can get that through the factories in the remaining 8 weeks. It's a high-margin job, but I don't want to count on it because there's no certainty we can get it done by the end of December. There's a certain piece of business from our US site that's moved to Thailand. The customer has ceased production in the US earlier than expected. We were told that this would continue until the year end. In fact, it stopped pretty much the end of September, and it's not, and it won't be commencing in Asia until January. That's completely unexpected and contrary to what we were led to believe by the client. This had nothing to do with a change of business model. It's just has everything to do with a major US customer transferring their business. It's been quite a this particular customer has been quite topical in the news recently for another reason, and it hasn't started in Asia yet. And we continue to see some softness in China. Difficult to know who to believe. When we had our business reviews, our internal people were quite confident. They still are. The business is coming through, but at a slower rate in terms of ability to get them into the second half. We are led to believe destocking has worked out of the system. But in all honesty, I don't see the underlying market picked up to the extent that commentators and our people have anticipated. So we expect a low double-digit decline, fully like-for-like in revenue. However, notwithstanding that, the profitability remains robust, and I expect the full-year margin to be in line with half one. A couple of other things. We expect tax rate to be around 20%. Second half net finance expense broadly in line, marginally better than the first half, marginally lower. CapEx will be in the 40, around the 40 mark, and we continue to keep pushing on working capital. Cash conversion will be higher than half one. I've talked about the porous disposal and the net debt. We expect net debt to be $400 million by year end. Just to be absolutely clear, there's no issue with covenants or gearing or anything like that, even at this revised profit level. In conclusion, I mean, it's clear, disappointing that 2016 has been a challenging year. It is a strong business. We do generate good levels of profitability and cash. I think we are well placed. Certainly on the packaging side, we're seeing good customer interest now that the thing is bedded down and pretty much integrated. We're seeing customers come back who left and realise that perhaps it's not so good elsewhere. We are seeing some price increases coming through now from customers who went away because we said we couldn't do it on price, and they're coming back at higher prices, but it is a competitive market. I guess I'd be more concerned to be sure that once we've got this final site integrated, that's that level of growth to profitability turnaround is the critical thing. It is there, but it's just not at the rate we expected. So that's the summary. Stefan and I are quite happy to take your questions.
If you would like to ask a question today, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, please press star 1. And we can now take our first question from Silvia Forteva from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I've got three questions, please. First of all, on HPC packaging. So obviously, you've moved a lot of facilities into one. You're still kind of moving one of them. I mean, kind of if you think about the issues and how that mid-teens shortfall in operating profit splits. Could you just talk a little bit in more detail about that? And just kind of bigger picture, do you think that fundamentally kind of you have actually lost client volumes or clients with that move? Do you think that it was the right thing to do, kind of integrating that many facilities that quickly?
Okay, I'll start that, and then Stefan will give you the numbers. Yeah, I think it is the right thing to do long term. I said before, and I'll say it again, and remain absolutely steadfast in this. The industry is made up of a collection of small businesses, and in the case of most of them, certainly are the ones we acquired, limited capacity to expand with and it not very no common purchasing, no common back office, and we knew that. And so I think it was quite important, and it is the right thing strategically, and the customers see it, to integrate into bigger and more efficient sites. And it might sound, excuse me, a little ironic sitting here today saying that, but actually it is the right thing to do, and we can see the underlying improvements coming through. But it's just these three are taking longer. And if you look at the rest of the sites, and we've done other integration, we've got op margins, low, mid, even high, double-digit op profit in these sites. I mean, we've still got something like 15 sites in the packaging business that we never talk about because they're working quite well, very well. So these three have been problematic. Would I do it again? I mean, I know it sounds a bit ironic and hollow, but I would, because I genuinely believe long term for the business is the right thing to do. You know what? That's what the customers tell us. That's what the suppliers who've come and seen it have told us. We needed to have been a little smarter in some of the operational execution. We did lose some business in it, and I remind everybody that the business was lost in two facets. First, we decided to give up business that was unprofitable from Clondalkin, and that was in the range of 10 million, maybe even slightly more, but in that range, there's three or four clients. And interestingly, a couple of those clients we're now talking to come back to 17. So that there's a message there. In fact, they are coming back to 17. And then on the label side, due to our poor integration performance in the first half year, we did lose business. I mean, quite honestly, I can understand it, because we didn't meet the OTIF and we didn't meet the on-time delivery. And there's a load of reasons for that. We talked about some of those at the half year. But there was an expectation that we would see a recovery in the second half. We've started to see it, but it's not, as I said earlier, it's not at the fast enough rate for us to, you know, if you like, be comfortable about delivering the original guidance. And that's why we're having this conversation this morning. But there's no doubt in my mind, nor anybody else on the team, this is not the right thing to do. It is the right thing to do. Because otherwise we'd be sitting here, if not this year, next year, having conversations of a different type about we have no capacity, we can't improve the margins, you know, there would be a whole series of different issues which actually longer term would drain business and not make it competitive. Once we're through this, I think you have a very good business. That's our view. Stefan, you want to talk on the numbers?
Yeah, so the approximately 50 million downgrade in health and personal care, if you break it down into the major buckets, it's around 6 to 7 from the ongoing integration challenges in the key three facilities referred to. They are sort of behind the expected levels in terms of operational performance. If you look at the sort of key operational indicators and KPIs we are tracking, still behind where they were expected to be. Another 3 to 4 from revenue shortfall relative to expectations, 2 million as a result of the further delay of the closure of one UK facility, and finally probably a couple of million due to trading, general trading softness.
Okay, great, thanks. And then second question, if we look out to 2017, I appreciate that you're probably just doing your budget. Should we assume any kind of growth, A, revenue-wise, and then margin-wise? So, would it be fair to just assume kind of a flat profit, and then on top of that we need to clearly take Porous out? Is that the right thing? Way to think about it?
You're literally, you've answered the question. We're literally in the middle of 2017 plan reviews. So I think it's a little bit premature to speculate what it may be, what we may be coming up with. But clearly, clearly we know your comment. Stefan, any view?
Yeah, we are not about to give guidance now for 2017 as normally we wouldn't do at this stage of the year. Maybe some additional observations, I think, in component solutions, sort of the half two trend is positive and would expect that to continue. I think the key will be the improvement in the U.S. going forward. I think in filters, clearly while there have been challenges in 16, we don't see this as a structural change in the industry and in sort of in the outsourcing-insourcing dynamic. And I think we feel we continue to be well-positioned to serve the customer base. There will be a little bit of headwind from in terms of revenue from raw material pricing reduction, but this will have no impact on the profitability of the business. This is really a pass-through. And then on health and personal care, the tear tape de-specification, I think we refer to that is mostly through in the year, same as the pruning activities. That said, we called out the integration challenges, and they have constrained the ability to grow the business. We need to see where pricing shapes up. So net-net, I think, we are posting a decline in revenue, so the immediate focus is really on improving that and stabilizing the business and the key three facilities.
But just draw your attention on the packaging, what I just commented earlier and said it before. The rest of those sites are primary secondary packaging sites are actually making good operating profit growth. They're in the sort of, and I'll average it out, 12-13% range for the rest of them. And we were clearly not there on these three. So, and if you look through the map and say, well, that's where these three should be. In fact, these three, once we're integrated, should clearly be there. And it's all done. And I say, I think we're there. Then I think there is some profit recovery to be expected from those three sites. And that's what we're working through at the moment. I mean, significant profit recovery. But how that pans out in the overall growth, et cetera, we're working through now. But it does all hinge on those sites.
Okay, and on the filter side, obviously you were talking about a better second half at the H1 stage, but the ramp up of those contracts doesn't seem to have come through quite as expected. How many of them have actually come through so far in the second half?
How many? It's difficult to call.
Yeah, I think, I think this is not one or two bigger ones. I think sort of the broad sort of pipeline that's spread on a portfolio of contracts. But I think, a fair amount of them have come through. But in terms of delay and ramp up, I think that has been the meaningful impact. But so if you look at the filter, sort of the kind of the revenue shortfall of, call it approximately 15, I think probably 6 to 7 million we would allocate to the contract delays and delayed ramp up, probably 5 to that business transfer Colin alluded earlier in Americas into Asia, which in the midterm should actually be positive for the business
next year.
Exactly, and the remainder relates to China.
This is, a large part of this, as I said in earlier in the call, we've just secured a major piece of business for filters, about £2 million. So, but there's no certainty that we can get that shipped, produced and shipped, in 8 weeks. So, we could sit here and we're obviously trying, and that's the objective, but we could sit here. And I don't want to repeat what we did in the first half where we say, okay, well, that's great. We'll put that in. That's more sales and profit. And we can't get it done for whatever reason because, you've got 7-8 weeks production time left, of which part is Christmas. Then it's got to be shipped. And under Inco terms, that means it's got to be accepted at the customer by year end. So, you know, it's not 8 weeks. It's just timing. Can't get it done. If it was end of Jan, it would be a problem. But it's not. It's the end of December. And there are a number of jobs like that. However, that doesn't mitigate the fact that the filters business, you know, has had a couple of negative breaks this year. We talked about the first half one. That's coming through slowly. And China, as I said, it's hard to call the growth. And I would say we would call it down a bit over the previous external estimates. And I'm not, everybody says the destocking is through. I was at a meeting a couple of weeks ago with some third-party people on this, and I'm not so sure that the destocking is totally through, in all honesty. I'm not sure anybody really knows. So I would take a slightly more cautious view on 17 for China growth, which is what we're working through, and we'll see. But again, that doesn't really have an impact on the delivery of 16. But I think the margin management continues to be good. I think it was a good move to shut the Jarrow site. If we hadn't have shut the Jarrow site, I don't think we would have seen the profitability maintained. Now we need to work on those couple of aspects that we've just alluded to. But I think the long-term trend for filters would probably be 1-2% growth tops. Maybe slightly better, but that's with swing volumes. But I think it's too early to call. That's probably best left there, because we don't want to give up. We can't give up specific guidance for 17 yet, not this week.
Yeah, and as I said, the raw material pricing plays always into the top line.
Yeah, which is mainly the tow.
Yeah,
which is with a number of customers is passed through. So, but no impact on profit.
Okay, great. And just final question. Sorry, I realize it's taken all of your time, but on the balance sheet, so it doesn't seem like you're changing any of your kind of cash flow guidance items. But, what do you expect? Do you expect another kind of issue within the working capital, or should we assume that your net debt will be, somewhere between kind of 2-2.5 times for the end of this year?
Yeah, I think on the working capital, we had an outflow in terms of cash at the half year. We expect that to be reduced in the second half in terms of outflow. So half two, slightly better than half one from a cash perspective.
Yeah, we continue to do good work on collecting receivables, and the inventories are certainly in components coming down, stabilised in the packaging. I don't think there's an issue on filters inventory. Stefan?
No.
So I don't think that's a major issue. And as I said, net debt will be around the 400 mark, pre-porous disposal.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Again, please press star 1 if you would like to ask a question. And we can now take our next question from Andrew Douglas from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Just quickly, on filtration products, I'm slightly confused about the movement from North America to Thailand and the softness in China and basically how you guys are able to kind of budget internally. I'm just slightly worried that you guys aren't kind of close to your customers or your market than you kind of probably need to be,
okay.
Because I don't really understand how you cannot know whether your client's going to be moving to Thailand before year end, and just if it happens, or you're in constant negotiations.
Okay, can I answer that? Because
yeah, I mean it's just born out of my ignorance, so apologies for that aggressive. But
yeah, well let me answer that because I can't tell you who the customer is, but you can probably figure it out from my comments. But I'm not going to go there. But the first thing is, we had a conversation with the customer come to talk to us and say, look, in high confidence, and we can't talk about it internally or externally, this is going to move to Asia as part of a complicated group process that we're undergoing. That was in probably August, September, Stefan? Yeah. So then the plan is that, and we have a contract with the customer, and the plan is that we will maintain supply. That was the understanding, in regular contact with the customer, because we have a key account manager in the same town as the customer, in Greensboro, who they affirmed that was the case, and that they would probably be building for stock, and then that would see it through, and then they would cut over and start in Asia, basically through Korea, which we're doing the work for. We're doing the supply. Just to be clear, we haven't lost anything. We are doing the supply, okay? And it's actually a bigger contract, as Stefan alluded to, because it's got more bits in it than it had previously. So then in September, the volumes start to tail off, completely unexplained. And then we have a meeting with them in October where they basically said, and correct me if I'm wrong, Stefan, that's it, no more production. We don't need any more, we don't want any more, because we've got enough stock to handle it in the transition. Now, that's obviously created us a problem, and we've ended up working a deal with the client in order to, you know, say, well, that's a bit unfortunate because you committed to hold that level of that we would be producing. And so there's a discussion going on about cost offset, et cetera, et cetera. So it isn't a question we don't, I'm not close to the customer, not at all. It's not a question we don't know what's going on, not at all. But if the customer says one thing and then a couple of weeks later they say, actually, we're not going to do that, not much you can do about it, really. That's the fact. And this isn't about we've lost the business, which is the customer's point, saying, look, you know, we transferred it. We don't need any more production until Jan. We have a new arrangement with another part of that group, effective Jan, to produce from Indonesia for the Japan market via Korea. And it's a bigger contract, but it's not going to... If this had have happened in Jan, this wouldn't have been a problem for this year. And we certainly would have flagged it, and we would not have counted it in any of our thinking for 2017. But this all happened in the space of a few weeks. So that's the first thing. So, and as I think the other facet to your question is, I mean, these are my words, do we know what's going on? Yeah, I think we do know what's going on. But we're in B2B, you know, business, not B2C. So, you know, we are at the mercy to an extent of what the customer, our customers want, and they're at the mercy of their consumers. And a lot our order patterns, if you look at some of our businesses, I mean, components is spot. What would you say we have? 2-3 days on the main stuff? Maybe a week if we're generous.
The transactional components.
Yeah. Packaging, we have contracts, but it is at their behest on call off, as is the same in the industry. And if they don't call it off, because maybe the flu season's not as strong, you know, our customer's customer, which could be we might sell to somebody else who sells to one of the majors who then interface with the consumer. If they decide that, you know, mince pies sales are going to be lower this year, that's less packaging. So we have all the intelligence, but at the end of the day, you don't hold all the cards. I don't know if you want to add anything, Stefan.
Yeah, I think, I think, as Colin alluded to, I think at the core of this business transfer, I think there are a couple of months sort of earlier stop of production plus less buffer stock required by the customer.
For whatever reason.
But sort of ultimately the business will be transferred sort of into our Thailand facility and we are ramping up. So, of course, we know that the customer is transferring the business. We are sort of ramping up and getting the facility ready as we speak. And I think sort of the other part of the question I think related more sort of to the China sort of to the project conversion. I mean these projects are involving a lot of people within sort of the customers and sort of our organization, from the commercial, technical, their supply chain decisions. So while we obviously I think are well aware of the overall progress, I think there are always delays in sort of how quickly they materialize and how quickly they ramp up.
China, perhaps more so. I mean, anybody who's dealt with China knows only too well that these are complex discussions that even once you break through with the counterparty have to be ratified by a higher authority in that country. In most instances, especially after some of the scandals not relating to us that have gone on in China, you know, in business in the last couple of years. So there is a higher level of nervousness about approval, placing business, et cetera, et cetera. But the underlying fact remains, as I've said, that the overall growth in China is slowing. There is more stringent... you should speak to the tobacco companies because they're the ones interfacing with the consumer, but it is clear that, you know, as the Chinese authorities seek to regulate smoking, i.e. public places, that puts the pressure on the growth, which was quite high, and that puts the pressure on the stock in the pipeline, which, again, many experts, much cleverer than Stefan and I, would say has now been worked through. But I would be more cautious of that, personally, because I don't think anybody really knows for sure. I couldn't put a figure on it personally. I wouldn't want to, given you know what's happened in 16. So I think it's right that we take a cautious view.
Okay, understand. And just, following on question there. I mean, there's been some change in tax legislation in Russia and also in California. Is that going to impact your business going into 17?
What are you talking about for cigarettes?
For filtration products. Yeah.
I don't think so in California, no. I think the biggest factor that's going to change our business in the US for 17 is going to be this product move.
Yeah. And Russia, I think it's about 9%. Isn't Russia about 9%
of sales? Yeah, Russia is. But we've been seeing, I don't think Russia is the great growth market it was 3-4 years ago. So I don't think, we would not be putting any growth in for Russia in 17 in terms of... in terms of market growth. And actually, funnily enough, I'm speaking on behalf of the cigarette companies, which maybe I shouldn't do, what you tend to see is that when tax hikes go in, actually volume goes up in the short term for some reason, the cigarette companies, not necessarily us. Yeah?
The pre-buy, is it? Yeah.
Yeah, pre-buys, etc. But I don't see that mainly manifest in us. I think our biggest problem is going to be problems probably are hard. The biggest thing we have to work through, and we're going through at the moment, is China, Far East. Mainly China and what that growth really looks like. And India to an extent, but less so. I think India is more stable now. But China continues to be the critical battleground in terms of growth and opportunity.
Sure. Okay. Just a quick one on FX, Stefan. In terms of the FX benefit that we've got this year, and if we just for the model, and also if we assume spot, what that looks like for 17, if spot remains as where we are through to the end of 17.
Yeah. So if you assume spot stays where we are, I think sort of we publicly said sort of we gave some guidance on the sensitivity of Forex. I think you can take a look at our sort of half year results, sort of what a cent in the dollar and euro move really does to the P&L. So roughly, I think it's sort of 1 cent is sort of for the half year, 200K on the profitability in the dollar, and then 100K on the euro. So I think we will see sort of a slight benefit in the current year from the drop in October in the dollar and the euro, the pound relative to these currencies. If you look at the next year, I think we probably will have to work it through, but clearly there will be quite a substantial translational benefit 17 to 16 given where we are year to date October and where we are sort of shaping up from a spot perspective.
Sure. Okay. And last question for me is, can I ask, when did you get your flash results for October? I'm just slightly surprised that it's taken until the 21st of November for the statement to come out.
Yeah, I think what you need to, and it's a little bit technical, but the accounting kind of cadence we have, we are not on a calendar month, we are on a sort of 5-4-4 kind of cadence. So the first month in the quarter is always a 5-weeker. So our October accounting month actually closed in November. So from a flash and profitability standpoint, it's clearly later than you would assume if we were on calendar month.
So when did you get your kind of numbers? Is it like that first week of November, second week of November?
Oh, a little bit later than that.
Right. Okay, thank you for that. Cheers.
And we can now take our next question from James Beard from Numis Securities. Please go ahead.
Morning, chaps. One question from me, just on the dividend. I'd certainly forecast for a flat dividend this year, but given that we're now sort of looking at profitability being back at 2014 levels, just wondering if you can sort of give us any thoughts on the implication of the dividend policy from here.
I think you know, the dividend will obviously be subject of sort of board discussion and recommendation. You know, to the final dividend will be given in our full year results, and then subsequently, as you know, will be determined by a shareholder vote. So I'm not speculating in regards to that outcome. But as you know, we are you know, completing or expecting to complete a significant disposal in sort of Q1 of next year.
I don't think there's been no discussion or any perception or belief, even at these trading levels, there's a need to cut the dividend. I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay, thanks.
And there are no further questions in the queue at this time.
Okay, with no further questions, then thank you for your time. I apologise that we have to do this. That clearly doesn't give anybody any great delight or satisfaction. But I do assure you that, you know, the management and the company and myself continue to do our best, and I do believe we're doing the right things, and I do believe this is a good, strong business. This has just been 1 year out of six where it's been a lot of factors, including, we shouldn't forget, the pipe protection working against us in terms of oil price. One shouldn't forget, if the oil price does come back, the pipe protection will come back with a vengeance. I think this business will look very different next year. Anyway, thank you very much for your time and your perseverance. I'm sure Joe, Stefan and I will take any subsequent discussions separately. Thank you. That's it.
That concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.